Okay, here we go. Who's that whistling? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Title of our message today, Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. We just sang that song, the old Fanny Crosby song. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She was blind, by the way. She was blind, actually was treated, I forget what treatment it was, and they burnt her eyes up. She wrote all those songs blind, and she talks about visions of rapture now burst on her sight. So the things that she could see, what a blessing thought when she received her sight, when she stood before her Savior after she passed and went on. A great thought. But as I was thinking this morning and thinking about our coming and having this sermon, I was thinking about how many times that people question their salvation. How many times the assurance of salvation escapes us. And so what a great, great verses that we can study this morning. And people that are not able to be here can go on live and be a part of this and not miss this sermon. So if you would stand to your feet at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll be looking at verses 14 through 17 this morning. The Word of God says this: For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for these scripture. And Lord, thank you that we do have the assurance of salvation for Romans chapter 8 and that verse that you inspired Paul to write, and we can find our assurance in these verses. And so I pray today, God, that our word will go forth not as a man speaking, but speaking as the very words of God. May you be glorified in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. When Sandy and I started going out, it was April 1990. Yeah. We were in church. I had a buddy of mine that, he said, I want you to check this girl out. You know how guys are. Look, I want you to check this girl out. Said, she comes with her parents. She sits on the back row. We're in church. Said, she comes in. She's back there right now. So I had to do that. Turn around. Hey, fell in love. I didn't believe in that, okay? I did not believe in that. I fell in love with her beauty, her physical appearance. But then I realized that as we started dating that she had inner beauty also. And so from the very beginning as we started, I realized she was a very special woman. And that our whole, I fell in love very quickly, as I said, and that we would have got married after the first week of going out. I know you say, ooh, that's the truth. Look, I can prove it. We're still together, right? We're still together. I would have married her then. And so we understood that as a couple, that there was God had something unique for us. From the very beginning we started dating, we said, God has something for us that's unique, that's special, and He wants something from us, and we never got over that. Here we are today, serving Him. We didn't understand what that meant, but we knew that there was something that He wanted from us together. And so we based our relationship on that foundation, on that solid ground. And listen, if we're not careful, we don't need shakiness in our relationships, do we? When it comes to our earthly relationships, we need a foundation that's solid. We don't need things that waver. In relationships that are like that, they're not much relationships, are they? In fact, they're anemic and they're always a worry and all that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. From the very beginning, there was a firm foundation and assurance that God wanted something from us. And we established that, and it did not waver. When we think spiritually, that's the relationship between a husband and a wife. Take that over into our spiritual relationship. Think about our relationship with God through Christ. At any time, listen, we should understand that that relationship with Christ is on a firm foundation that cannot move. It never shakes. It can never waver. What kind of relationship would it? What kind of relationship would we have if we're always worrying about it? It could end at any time. And so, this assurance of salvation is so important to us. It's not about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ should never be, I hope so, I guess so, but it should be, I know so, on the promises of God. And so, Paul has given us this whole great chapter of Romans chapter 8 that we can have and hold on to that about our assurance in that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Nothing shaking, nothing wavering, but a solid assurance, not based on feelings or emotions, but based on the promises of God's Word. That's what we can hold on to. And so, I want you to know the only confidence that we can have, the only confidence we can ever have, is understanding the finished work of Christ. There are many Christians that live on shaky ground. They believe that at any time, if they don't hold on tight, they will stumble, and even some believe they could fall. That's, to me, a sad indictment. I want us to leave here this morning, and those that are listening, I want you to leave here at the end of this sermon being utterly assured of your relationship with Christ. Romans chapter 8 is all about that assurance. God has brought us into a relationship through Christ with Him. God's Spirit is what He uses to make it possible for us to be in the family of God. So I want us to think about blessed assurance, the testimony of the Spirit in our lives. The testimony of the Spirit. First, and I want us to see what the testimony of the Spirit does. It confirms our status. Verse 14, look what it says, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The testimony of the Spirit in us is that it confirms our status. If we can't go on without looking back, and we need to see the context. It's been a while since we preached in Romans. The context, if you remember, our last sermon was to be or not to be, talking about, hey, if you're saved or not, there's no in-between. And we look at verse 12, says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But he makes his statement in verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And then he gets to verse 14, for, or because, is a better translation, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And so Paul's letting us know he's confirming what he's talked about by the deeds of the flesh or living by the works of the flesh. Those who the Spirit put to death the body or the misdeeds of the body. He said now they're called what? They are led by the Spirit, and not only that, but they're called sons of God. Wow. Every true child of God is being led by the Holy Spirit. And the evidence and proof of this leading is that they are fighting sin. Fighting sin, not giving in to sin, but fighting sin. That's our desire to fight sin. It proves our sonship. We want to please God, not ourselves. The Spirit births us into this relationship with God. He says, born not of the flesh, but of God. But salvation is not just a legal transaction, but it's personal. He says, into that family. To be a son. And when he uses son, it means sons and daughters. It's generic as far as our gender. It's sons, being sons and daughters that were into the family of God. We're not birthed in that by natural birth, but rebirthed in that by the birth of Jesus Christ into His family. It's a personal transaction. It's not just a legal transaction justified through faith, but a personal transaction. We become into His family. We come into His family through rebirth. Led by the Spirit, sons and men and women, all the rights of family and inheritance that we'll see. Being led is the mark of identification in a child of God's life. Being led by the Spirit. And what does that look like? You say, Pastor Dave, I hear that, but what does that look like? What is it? Let's put it in the flesh and blood and what it looks like being led by the Spirit. Well, the first thing, the Spirit convicts. It convicts. The Spirit makes possible this relationship with God, but it also convicts us and brings us to commitment, enables us to trust Christ. We're born of the Spirit. It convicts us when we do wrong, when we do things contrary to God's Word. Aren't you glad of that? The Spirit convicts. Not only does it convict, but it secures. Our relationship is sealed. It's tamper-proof. It's our down payment. When I realized that this was the woman for me, you know what I did? I went out and bought a ring. That's right. Got down on one knee. Said, "Well, what? Will you marry me?" But that ring, you know what that was? That was the down payment. The Holy Spirit in our life, that's our engagement ring. There's more to come, okay? There's more to come. And so it's that down payment. The Holy Spirit, He secures, but He also empowers. He leads us. He deals with the sin in our lives. He helps us to put to death the deeds of the flesh that He talked about in verse 13. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. We can never say we can't, because we can through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. So He convicts, He secures, He empowers, but He also sanctifies. He guides us to live a life worthy of Christ. Apart from the Spirit of God, there's no children of God. He sanctifies us. And so this is what it looks like to be led, convicts, secures, empowers, sanctifies. We grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not born into the family of God, but we're reborn into His family. That's what it looks like. Well, that's the Spirit, the testimony of Spirit, not only does it confirms our status, but it also personalizes our relationship. Verse 15, look what it says. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father." When I was studying these verses, I thought, I just preached that. Wait a minute. I was like, did I not preach it? I'm thinking, has it been that long since I've been in Rome? Which, if you remember, Galatians 4:14, in the fullness of time, and when we talked about the most wonderful time in that sermon we preached out, this is the sister verse of that, when he talks about that we can call Him Abba Father, and we have this task. And I thought, that's where it was at. We preached about that just a few weeks ago. And so the Spirit of God is cohesive, and we see Paul talking about Abba Father, this personal relationship. And this personal relationship brings a couple things. Freedom. Look what he says. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the adoption of sons." So we see freedom through this relationship. It personalizes it. It brings freedom, replaces fear with freedom. Why? We're no longer slaves to sin and to ourselves. We're free. We're sons of the King now. Sons and daughters of the King. He frees us from the bondage of ourselves and the slavery of sin. Holiness of God produces fear within me. You ever thought about God and how His perfect standard of holiness and what He requires? And here's the deal. I don't know how many times I've thought, well, I don't measure up. You're exactly right. None of us do. I don't measure up to His standard. Without the Spirit, we're in bondage trying to earn our way. Do you remember the old children's story, and I don't know if they still have it, when our kids were little, about the little engine that could? You remember that? I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And if we're not careful, that's our spiritual walk. I think I can, I think I can. Guess what? You can. But He can. We don't measure up. We need Christ. He keeps it. He said, but we struggle, the struggle and the striving, the Spirit does not point us. Now, He doesn't point us just to our weakness to leave us there, but He points us to the victory that we have in Christ and His resurrection. I think I can't do it, but He can. What we couldn't do, He did. And in His resurrection, He gave us the power and the hope and the victory to go forward. He goes on to say, but you got rid of the freedom and bondage of fear, but look what you said, but you received the spirit of adoption. We didn't have any spiritual DNA to be in His family, but we didn't inherit it from our parents or from our grandparents. No right, no claim. But we've been adopted into the family of God through Christ. What a great thought. by that grace that He bestows upon us. It all depends on the Father, not on us. It depends on the Father and the finished work of Christ in our life. We're in the family of God. You know what? Because I didn't earn it, I could never lose it. It all depends on the Father. How dependable is He? Something for us to think about. And not only does He bring us freedom, but He brings us intimacy. I want you to see what He says, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So we have this freedom, but we also have this intimate relationship with God through Christ. Think about that, where He says, hey, we have this, we can cry, Abba, Father, this intimate relationship with Him. A Jew would never call God Father. They called Him Yahweh and Jehovah, and they made up names because they were so worried about using His name in vain, and so they would never call God Father. But what did Jesus, in His prayers, He'd always say, and He always addressed, Abba, Father. He had an intimacy. And in Him, we have this same intimacy. What a great blessing to think about this morning. Abba. Not just a term like a little kid that we talked about, just not just a term like daddy, but it's a respectful thing that He's not, and He's showing us God's not distant. He's real and He's here, and He's not just a chummy friend. He's not my BFF. God. But He brings us intimacy through Christ, that I have this intimate relationship with Him. I can go before Him. And it says, He's Abba Father, and the Spirit within us makes us cry. Abba Father, do you ever cry out? Have you ever just get so tired and sick of yourself that you say, God, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. And that Spirit within us is what makes us cry, what makes us yearn for that intimacy and that relationship. Makes us want to please our Father, Heavenly Father, through Christ our Lord. It's a deep emotional thing. It's a relationship, a intimacy. It's the face of son, the fact of sonship, but also the feeling. There's a feeling. It's not just based on, yes, the promises there, and that's what we base it on, the promises, but it's also that we understand through that Spirit that dwells within us, it's very emotional. Now, I don't rest my salvation on that emotion. I rest it on the promises of God, but I promise you this, it gets very emotional sometimes. And I say, praise God! So sometimes you just get so tired of life and yourself, but then you realize and you think about the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and what do? I don't know about you, but sometimes I just weep and raise my hands and cry. Say, thank you, Father. Man, sometimes I'll be in my study and going in the Word of God, and I'll be over there just, I'm trying not to let Sandy know what's going on. I'm just having a moment. God, I'm over there. I'm saying, I'm having a moment. Having a moment. And the Word of God just catches you, and you realize the intimacy that you have with God through Christ. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. Just grace. Grace will get you through. Grace will get you through. And so that intimacy, the freedom that we have in that intimacy. Listen, the testimony of the Spirit confirms our status, and it personalizes our relationship, but also it removes our doubt. Look at verses 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. He removes the Spirit's testimony, removes our doubt. How? He gives us assurance. The Spirit Himself, He says, The assurance that we have, the Spirit Himself witnesses with our spirit that we're children of God. Say, so what are you talking about, Pastor Dave? There's something that's inside of me. February 28, 1990. Spirit of God moved inside. And the things that I used to do, I can no longer do. Why? Spirit of God moved. And He testifies with God's Spirit. Listen, there's something inside of me that's eternal. The Holy Spirit of God. It's being in the presence of God Himself. And it testifies to my spirit. He says that, what does it testify? That we are children of God. No longer am I a child of sin and self, but I'm a child of God. And that causes me in desire that rings up in me that desires to please Him. Not please myself, not please my flesh, but please my Savior. His Spirit testifies that we're children. And He speaks, you know what He's saying? You belong to Me. You belong to Me. He witnesses us to us in our deepest inward parts within us. Listen to what 1 John 5:13 said. These things, John says, I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That you may know, He said. Written. John said that in his gospel also. He didn't write it so that you could wish or hope that you may know that you have salvation in the Son of God. The witness of the Word is that He etches it on our hearts. It's based on His Word, but it's also personal and lived out in our lives. It guides, it corrects, it condemns. And it directs. That testimony of the Spirit does these things in our life. It makes us want to live that life for Christ. It brings us assurance. You see, it's not what we've done for Christ, but what Christ has done for us on the cross that makes us right with God. And it brings assurance. Christ died on a cross for us. Gave His life, Scripture says. Was buried, placed in a tomb, but rose again on the third day. Do you believe that? Do you believe that because that's what the Word of God says? He says, listen, that's a promise that you can build a foundation upon that will never waver or will never shake. You say, but Pastor Dave, I've done this and I've done that. Do you have the Spirit of God within you? It says that if we have the Spirit of God within us, it testifies that we have His Spirit with our spirit. Does it not? So it's not based upon a feeling, but it's based upon a promise. But I promise you that promise will bring feeling in your life. It's going to bring out living for Christ. And when we don't live, I don't know about you, but I get wore out. Spiritual woodshed. You've heard me say that many times. He says that He'll chastise His sons and His daughters. He'll chastise us if we don't live according to His Word. And so we see it brings that confidence, not only assurance, but confidence also. Look what it says. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. So not only does it bring assurance, but it brings confidence. Confidence not in myself, but a confidence in what Christ has done. And because we're children, we have confidence in the privileges of a son. Look what it says. We're heirs, heirs of God. And then it goes on to say, joint heirs with Christ. God has chosen to bestow infinite spiritual blessings on each of us, His children. The Christian, it says, is a joint heir of the Father with the person of Christ. Now listen. Two brothers inherited an estate of equal, and they were equal heirs. Then the estate would be divided into two equal parts, and each one would be given the same amount. But if the two are made joint heirs, then both of them have equal rights to the total inheritance. They look at the total inheritance as being theirs. It says that we're what? Joint heirs with Christ. Oh, my friend, I don't think that we even grasp the magnitude of that. A joint heir with Christ is the total inheritance of Christ. It's the inheritance that every believer has. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the glorious riches that God has laid up for us in Christ Jesus. We can't even grasp the magnitude of these verses this morning because they're so grandiose. Joint heirs with Christ. me ask you this. If someone gave you an ironclad assurance that you were an heir of Bill Gates, ironclad, you're an heir of Bill Gates, would that change the way you live? It would change the way you live, wouldn't it? I don't know about you, but I got some student loans and all these little nicks and nacks that get paid off real quick. It would change the way that we live, would we not? It would. Listen, there's something so much more than an ironclad inheritance, Bill Gates. It says that you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, you've inherited everything that you need to make it. Why do we live spiritually bankrupt? Because we don't understand our inheritance in Christ. Oh, my friend, you can have assurance and confidence that as a child of God, you have a greater inheritance than anything the world can offer you. How will that change the way that you live? How will that change? I don't know about you, but sometimes I just scrape around spiritually. I just nibble at the crumbs when I see the Scripture tells me that I can sit at the Master's table because I'm a child of the King through Christ. There's no use in 2017 for us to ever just barely make it spiritually. When we grasp what Christ has done for us, we have an assurance that cannot be shaken, a relationship that's not built on anything else other than the finished work of Jesus Christ can never be taken from you when you've received that. The question is, have you received it? So how do I know, Pastor Dave, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God? How can we not know if the Holy Spirit dwells within us? How can we not know? Blessed assurance, Fanny Crosby. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of love, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. Blessed assurance in Christ. My question to you this morning as we close is, do you know the witness of the Spirit of God in your life? Do you know that God is your Father? We can drown our relationship in sin. We can drown that testimony with sin in the way that we live. But I promise you this, if you're a child, you'll always be a child. And you'll desire to please your Father. Let's stand on our feet. Ladies, come and play. We'll do our applications and we'll be done. I ask you this morning, do you know, not hope, not guess, but know you're a child of God? Do you know? Number two, how will that assurance cause you to live differently in 2017? If you know that, it's going to cause you to live differently. We're going to live a life worthy of who we've been called by. Number three, what is the Spirit saying to you this morning? Even those that are listening by way of Facebook or on as our website, what's He saying to you? You see, here's the deal. It gets real personal now because it's like, okay, we can hear it. We can think about it, but what is it doing for our lives? What is it doing to change us? What is our purpose here this morning? I'm not going to tarry long. What's the Spirit of God saying to you this morning? Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know? As Brittany prepares to sing, and listen, on the first verse, if there's any question, if there's any question of your salvation, come forward and say, Lord, I want to know. I'm tired of messing around with it. Here's the deal. I would hate to think that I could fall from grace. Why? Why is that, Pastor Dave? Because all I would get, I would wonder where the line was that made me fall. All I would get done saying, well, is that sin? Is that what makes me lost? And all, you know what, all I'd get done? Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I do that a lot now anyway. But I know I'm not losing my salvation. I'm doing it because I want to please my master. Big difference. If you're one of them people that don't have the assurance, you can nail it down today. Or maybe, hey, you say, you know what? I just went right into 2017 like I left 2016, and I'm just going through the motions. I'm really not changing, and I want to do something. I want to allow Christ to live through me. 2017. Whatever the Lord said, I want you to respond this morning. As soon as you start singing, don't hesitate.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live.
Careful going home. I know the roads are still slick. Minus 15 wind chill. So if you do run off the road, call somebody. Don't be walking in that. That's frostbite really quick. But I love you. We're in this together. 2017. Know that you know. It cannot move. Unshakable. It's not based on your feeling. It's based on the promises of God. But your Spirit of God will testify to your spirit. Know that you know, and then live a life of victory in Christ. Live a life of victory. Why? Because you have everything joint heirs with Christ. One day you'll stand before God the Father, not condemned.